Every man heard them speak in his own tongue, and they were all amazed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today is that wonderful feast day, the wonderful feast of Pentecost, which is the birthday of the Catholic Church. It's a wonderful day because there was a massive shift in everything that we knew, that the world knew about Christ. It went from experiencing him walking amongst people, preaching to them himself, seeing the miracles that he was doing himself, seeing him be praised and deriled where he went, seeing him questioned and mocked, seeing him crucified and put to death, rising again from the dead, ascending into heaven. All of those things have now come to pass, and Christ is back with his Father in heaven. Today was the mark of that great shift in the things of Christ being done by Christ to the things of Christ being done by those whom he has left his church to begin with, the apostles and the disciples of Christ. And it's on this day that that very mission began. The mission to preach the gospel to the whole world, to all people throughout wherever they may be. And it wasn't a simple action merely of just starting to preach the things of Christ, which in and of itself would be massive. But it was necessary for them to be successful. It was necessary for that seed to be planted throughout the world, that it had to begin in a way that was clearly inspired and directed by God himself. It had to begin in that miraculous way in order for it to be truly successful. And that's what God did on this day. The Holy Ghost came down upon them, and it became very clear that these apostles were now under a great influence beyond themselves. It became clear that God was acting in them in order to make them, in a way, supernatural in their actions. Until this point, we've seen the apostles, and even written in the scriptures, we see many times their faults listed out for us there. We see their failings, the areas they fall short. We see their human weaknesses and the things that keep them from really acting as somebody that is really on a mission from God. Yes, they're following our Lord. Yes, they've left everything behind. But there's still their own faults, their own failings, their own weaknesses that get in the way of them really being able to embrace exactly that. And if we see it in the Gospels, if we see it in the things that they chose to write down, the people that knew them, that walked with them, that saw them on a daily basis, they knew that these were faulty men in their own right. Not necessarily some, you know, gravely awful person, but somebody who had faults just like anybody else. And yet, they saw the things that where they fell short, and we see them listed for us there in the scriptures. We see that they were afraid, and many times acted upon their fear and those feelings of timidness rather than trying to be always fortified in that strength of God. We see that, you know, that at Calvary only one apostle was there, and that was St. John. We see that they are hiding up until this day in the cenacle. They're not just sitting there talking about what to do. They're sitting there because they're afraid of what the people are going to ask them about. They're afraid of what the people are going to question them on the things of the person that they followed for those 3 years, that man Jesus. They're afraid of the questions will they be able to answer them well? And what does God really want us to do? And so they're hiding in the upper room. We see that fear come through in St. Peter when he just hours beforehand tells our Lord that he's willing to lay down his very life for him. And then a couple of hours later, denies him 3 times when we simply asked if he knew him. We see that the apostles oftentimes didn't really understand the message our Lord was giving them. We saw that St. Peter oftentimes misspoke and spoke out of his own feelings or spoke out of his own heart rather than really thinking about the words that our Lord was saying. We see that, for instance, in the actions there when our Lord goes to wash his feet and he tells him he doesn't want his feet to be washed, he's not worthy of it. And then our Lord tells him, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven without having your feet washed. And then he goes the opposite and says, wash my head and my whole body and everything like that. No, he misses our Lord's whole purpose in that. And we see it with the apostles in asking our Lord if he's, after being with him for 3 years, asking him if it's at this time he's going to set up the kingdom of Jerusalem on earth, missing the entire message of where his kingdom truly lies. We see that the apostles sometimes even doubted our Lord's simple promises. St. Thomas, of course, doubted our Lord's resurrection to the point that he needed to see our Lord risen, even though he was told by Christ himself he would one day rise. We see the apostles, after the crucifixion, all in that upper room, and they're sad. And there's an air of defeatedness to them because they don't know what's going to happen next. They forgot what our Lord told them would come next. But now, with the Holy Ghost coming upon them and filling them, they go out with great courage. They go and they preach fearlessly to the people around them, not caring what they might think, not caring what they might say. They speak out with one voice, if you will, that they all give the same exact message. They know now the things of God. They know the teachings of Christ. They know them in their heads and in their hearts, and they're so confident in it that they give that, no matter, even if there's 12 of them talking to different people, everyone has the same message in hand to give. And even though there weren't highly educated men, many of them laborers and workers, they were able to convert massive amounts of people on one day alone, this day alone, to the faith. Thousands of people were converted on Pentecost Sunday, which means thousands of people were convinced by the words that they gave to them. And no longer was there doubt in their hearts. The words that they spoke were given with 100% confidence and conviction and the knowledge of the veracity of their message that they were putting out there. And then there's one other great miracle that happens along with this change in attitude and this change in confidence and in fearlessness in the apostles that's listed there. And that is that they spoke with the gift of tongues. That they had this extraordinary and miraculous ability for themselves in that instant. There was a great crowd that had gathered around there, and as the epistle for today points out, they were from all over the known world. They came from far and wide in that city, because Jerusalem at the time was a great crossroad for people traveling. And as these people would hear them, each and every one of them would hear them speaking in their own tongues. But again, we talk about the apostles. These men were not great scholars of the world. They were working men. They were people that knew one, two languages maybe. And yet they were able to speak and everybody understand them in their own tongue. And everybody understand them at the same time. They didn't have to go one language at a time, but they spoke in their native tongue. And all who were around heard them in their own. It's that great miracle, that great gift, extraordinary gift given by the Holy Ghost to them, that gift of tongues that was there to aid them. And it's a gift that truly is extraordinary, that is very rarely given and only for a very specific purpose, especially for the conversion of souls. We see it at times in the lives of some of the saints. Saint Dominic, for instance, was traveling through on his way to Paris, and he was going through Germany, and he came across some people that he wanted to work and to convert, yet he spoke no German. And so he prayed, and for the 4 days that he was with those individuals, they heard him in perfect German. And once he left them, he still retained no knowledge of the language. St. Francis Xavier converted thousands upon thousands of people traveling to various Eastern countries, like India and the Far East, and no matter where he went, he was always able to be understood by the native people, even though he hadn't necessarily learned all of their language by studying it all the time. They had an extraordinary gift of tongues. Yet, we will probably never have that type of extraordinary gift in our lives because we don't have that need for it. Yes, we at times we could find a helpful use for something like that in an instant, but generally speaking, that was very rarely given by God, and so we, ourselves, will never expect it. But what we forget is that we have received that same Holy Ghost that the apostles did. We received that same Holy Ghost that those great saints received in their lifetimes. We receive those same gifts that are given to us all. We get them at our baptism. We're strengthened in them at our confirmation. We're given that knowledge that we call upon the Holy Ghost to aid us when we need Him. And He's always there waiting for us. Those gifts are just that, a gift. They're given to us freely. They're given to us free of charge. They're given to us, and all we have to do is ask to be able to access them when we need them in our lives. And oftentimes, we forget about it. We sit there and we see opportunities come to us and we fear those opportunities. We get nervous about talking to somebody, providing, you know, having that little chat that we know that we just really don't want to have, but it's the right thing to do. Or that time that we know that people that are of the world see us, and if we act as Catholics must, we know that they're going to be a little wondrous of it at times. And we feel that inner inhibition coming upon us. Do I really want to do this right now? You know, I'm at a company party. Do I really want to say grace? Something so simple. And hopefully we all persevere through that. But it's a natural kind of rising up of that. And if we ever have the opportunity to talk with people about the faith, we oftentimes feel like the burden is always on us to explain every little tiny aspect, every little piece to it, and to answer every baseless question that comes our way. But that's not the case. We have the truth. And yes, we should look for the opportunity to explain what we can, as often as we can, about the faith, and to give good answers, but also to be ready to say, I don't know, but I can find it for you. And to have that confidence in our own faith that there's no question that should ever scare us coming our way. And with that type of confidence, we can have those conversations that would be good for the conversion of souls. We too often think that, oh, really smart people are the ones that are going to make conversions. They're the ones that are going to be able to go out there and talk eloquently about the faith and move people to conversion. But conversion comes from act of grace in both that person's heart and for our own selves, in us being able to work with grace, to work with the person. And that's the part we lose sight of oftentimes. I've seen simple people make more conversions than many of the very intelligent people that I knew. There's one person that was, in my time out in Spokane, Washington, for the 5 years or whatever it was that I was out there when I was studying as a seminarian, that every single year that I was there, there was at least one, if not a couple of people that were adults who were converted to the faith by this one woman. This one woman who had learning trouble and was a little bit on the spectrum of autism. Someone who was, if you talk to her, you would clearly understand, is not a learned person, is not a really highly intelligent person, is a very simplistic person. Yet she would talk to people who were much smarter than herself. She would talk to people who were much more refined than herself. But she would talk with total trust in God being able to aid her to show that good example and put the words on her lips when she needed to. And she never passed up an opportunity to talk about the faith. And if somebody wanted to dismiss her, she let them. Fine, whatever. But if someone actually had open heart towards God, then they would hear the words that she would say and they would inquire more about it. And she had patience to deal with them and to work with them. And she spoke with conviction in what she believed. And year after year after year, she made convert after convert after convert. Because God converts souls, not ourselves. We can't force somebody to convert, no matter how hard we try, no matter how eloquently we speak. But at the same time, we have to trust that God will help us in those opportunities that are given to us, to give us those right words to say, to help us remember the things that we've learned in our days. Yes, we have to do our part here. We have to continually study our faith. When was the last time you read your catechism book? When was the last time you studied different articles about how the current situation in the church as we know it to be? When was the last time that you yourself looked at some aspects of moral theology to try to better help it apply it to your own lives? When was the last time you read a book on apologetics in ways to help explain the faith to those who are not Catholic? You have to do those things regularly in your life. If you want to, those are the normal means that we take. But for all the other aspects that we don't always have ready at our fingertips, God's there to help us. But we have to turn to Him. We have to trust in Him. And we have to put that focus first and foremost in our minds. The Holy Ghost is there. He is there in all of us. He is there ready to help us. He comes to us through the fact that we have received those important sacraments in our lives. But we forget about Him, and we should do so no longer. Today, Pentecost Sunday, so many years ago, was when the mission of the church began to convert the world. And we find ourselves in the waning days, I guess you could say, of the church, not that in any kind of apocalyptic now way, I don't want you to misinterpret me like that, don't start going buying canned goods tomorrow. We find ourselves in those waning days, though, of the fact that we know we've come 2,000 plus years, and we know that times are now more difficult than before. Yet that need to gain souls has never gone away. And because God desires it, He provides us that same means to win them to the faith, the means of Himself, the means of the gifts given by the Holy Ghost. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.